There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, and this is Midday Mobile. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean, live local talk for the next couple of hours. Phone number, text line, keep this in the contacts. I just put the FM Talk 106.5 and enter the contact. 34. If you're not from around here, 251, but around here, 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on the text line or the phone line. I would love to hear your voice, but also grab your text as well. If you got something to add, could be something like a traffic update, could be a comment on something. Listen, 343-0106 on text. Or if you want to say something, we're here for you. 343-0106. All right, because somebody said I didn't say the number enough the other day. So I'm now 343-0106, saying the number like 17 times here in the first minute of the program. And before I get to anything else, you heard the promo there. So my buddy Gordon Deal in the promo for tomorrow morning's This Morning with Gordon Deal, and talked about Bloomberg. I got a stat here, a Bloomberg stat for you. This is not a stat on polling information. This is not a stat on how he did in South Carolina the other night. This is a stat on how much money Michael Bloomberg has spent, right? We've talked about that nationally going into Super Tuesday. Bloomberg has spent about $190, $191 million in the Super Tuesday states alone, SEC primary states and others. So $191 million is what he has spent so far. He, not the campaign, which is him, he spent that. Here at home, in Sweet Home, Alabama, Bloomberg has spent $8 million on TV and radio ads in Alabama. $8 million. Compare that to Bernie Sanders, who's leading, who spent $142,000 in the state, and many of the others have spent nothing in the state for the Democrat primary. $8 million on TV and radio ad. I would like to point out that we have not had any advertising from Michael Bloomberg. Something about us, I know there are national radio companies that have talk radio shows that have, you know, that have lots of the Michael Bloomberg spots. We have not. There's something we do around here, even though we're the 50,000 watt FM that covers the entirety of the area, blankets it, like a snuggie of coverage of our broadcast. But for some reason, we and a couple other hosts here in the state, we've been personas non gratis, right? We nothing, no money for you, says Bloomberg. So there you go. It's a scarlet letter that I'm proud to wear. So I'm just pointing out where you hear Bloomberg spots and where you don't. And right here, you don't. So that's it. I'm not going to give him any more free plugs, say his name. You got to pay for it. If he wants to pay for it, well, the address right there to send your check is on the front page of our website, FM Talk. Actually, not on the front page. You got to click one thing. Or is it at the bottom? It's on FMTalk1065.com, Bloomberg people. $8 million in the state that Bloomberg has spent. Think about what is... I tell you what, Jeff Poor is going to join us in hour number two of the show. And plus, we've got Todd Stacey coming on in just a second. Those guys are plugged in. Maybe they can help me figure out how much money has been spent in the Senate primary and in the AL1 primary. And I would venture to guess that those two together, see if I'm wrong, I'm running it right up on the edge. It's not like a sure thing. I'm running it right up on the edge. But I believe in my proficiency in this, that there has been more money spent by Bloomberg than there has in those two primaries. So we'll tally, because Bloomberg's at 8 million now. 8 million, which none of it, none of it here. None of it runs here. Think about where you hear, but none of it running here. All right, so yeah, Todd Stacey's going to join us in a second. I got derailed for a second because of that Bloomberg deal, but I want to line out a couple things. Number one, coming up, Todd Stacey, we got a lot of state issues to talk about. One of them is the, we had the GIRL Act as proposed by Representative Pringle, right? What is it? Gender is real legislation. Now, another bill that's being discussed right now is not about, because gender is real legislation, is just about saying, hey, if you're born a boy, you play boy sports at public schools in Alabama through graduation. If you're born a girl, you play girl sports, right? Unless there's not a boy and girl team, one of those situations. Okay, there's that. Now there's another bill out that is not, it is different. It is different than the gender is real legislation. It's a bill sponsored by State Rep Wes Allen out of Troy and State Senator Shay Shelnut out of Trustville that would make it illegal for doctors to prescribe minors hormone blockers that are meant to delay puberty for transgender minors. Okay, it's been approved by two legislative committees. The Vulnerable Child Compassion Protection Act, which is not a good acronym, VCCPA. They did not work on the acronym there. It was approved by the Alabama House Health Committee and the Senate Health Committee. Of course, now has to move on for full voting. But when I come back, I'm going to ask this question. When people are shocked that how dare they would say minors in the state of Alabama could not be prescribed these drugs, these hormone blockers, when Todd Stacey joins us in a second, I want to check, how old do you have to be to do something that would be a lot more easily reversible? How old do you have to be to change your name legally in the state of Alabama? Let's compare and contrast those two. How about we do it? All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We'll check it with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com here in a second. I do want to, so let me roll through this here, because this is there's a couple things here. Number one, the bill. Let's back this up for a second. We'll talk to Todd about this in a second. A bill that's been proposed here, let's see, to make it out of committee. Yeah, it's approved by Alabama Health Committee and Senate Health Committee. So it did make it out of committee. This bill would make it illegal for doctors to prescribe minors hormone blockers that are meant to delay puberty for transgender minors. And so we can get in that discussion about that in a second. So we'll talk about that with Todd. But I asked this question as we went to break. I said, so if anybody would be, how dare they? How dare you? How dare they possibly say that you got to wait on these hormone blockers deciding if, you know, the child is transgendered or not when they're prepubescent here. How, just on the flip side, I just Googled this today. I just said, well, you know, I wonder about this. How old do you have to be to change your name? What if mom and dad, instead of blocking the hormones and letting you transition and putting different chemicals in your body and do it, what if they just gave you a stupid name? What if mom and dad gave you a stupid name and you want to change that name? Your trans name. There's a better name for you. You got another name. Well, in Alabama, you have to be 19 years old. Not 18, y'all. 19. So, point that out. Just, and there's a whole process here on changing your name. You can, I guess you can start the process, that's right, at 18, right when you turn 18, but there's something that says it's till 19. So you can't change your name, but you can change the chemicals in your body there, at least. Do I think that this is rampant? This is the other thing, though. At the same time, I'm going to point out the fallacy of those that would argue against this bill. At the same time, too, do I think this is rampant in Alabama? Probably not. Is this something that's heading down the road? It may be. you know, quite often you'll make a case, oh, it's everywhere. There's an epidemic. I don't think there is in Alabama, but you don't have to look too far away and look at other states and might be worth looking at. I don't know. I think he's with us now, so let's check in. It's Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. A beautiful day in Mobile, and I'm sure a swell day up on Goat Hill in Montgomery.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. It is finally a sunshining day in Montgomery, and the legislature's still in session, but they'll be out probably here in a few hours.
Yo, by the way, just side note, quit sending water down the Alabama River. We're done with it now, okay? We don't need any more of that.
Hey, we're at the confluence of the Tallapoosa and the Coosa, man. We're getting our share as well, but yeah, I think we're all a little waterlogged at this point.
Big time. Hey, so I was mentioning this before we hopped on, that bill, the Allen Shelnut bill, that would make it illegal for doctors to prescribe this, chemicals, I guess, hormone blockers, those kind of things. It came out of committee. Do you think it gets traction in the full bodies of the House and the Senate?
I do. I think these bills will probably pass pretty quickly in the houses, both the House and the Senate. They're identical bills, so I mean this was a planned thing.
So no reconciliation, or they're both the same.
I mean, you never know about amendments. That would kind of complicate it. Not that there's a rush. I mean, it's only the eighth day of the legislative session right now. We have 30 in total, and so it's not a rush. The leadership generally kind of plans these things for like when there's time.
Gotcha.
I'm just saying that there's no indication that there would be significant opposition to this on the Republican side. You probably would have some Democrats that would vote against it. But look, this is yet another transgender related bill. We had the one from
the
Chris Pringle.
Yeah, I think this is right. Different though, right? The same subject, but it seems like this could be a little more contentious. Maybe, I don't know.
Well, it goes to a general concern about not transgender people necessarily, but children, because there are stories. You see them all the time. Sometimes very high profile major media outlets. I know NBC's been doing this about children, as young as 9, 10, 12 years old who are transgender, right? They do not identify mm-hmm. with the gender of their birth. And so parents struggle with what to do, but in some of these high-profile cases, they have gone along with it and just basically allowed their children to grow up as a different gender. In some cases, going for these treatments and surgeries. Which, look, if you are an adult human being, do you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, live and let live is what I think most people would say. Even if you don't agree with it, hey, you can do what you want. But when it comes to children, there are laws in place. There are standards in place to make sure that we don't allow children to harm themselves, or we certainly don't harm children. So it goes to that concern. This is not about, I think that the opponents of the bill, Human Rights Campaign and some of those, are saying, hey, this is an anti-trans bill. And I can understand how they would see it that way, but the difference here is children. And if you're under 18, are you of the capacity to really understand what you what you may be setting up for an entire future? So for that reason, I think it's probably going to pass. And it'll have some debate. Trust me, it'll have some solid debate, just like all social issues do. But I would expect this and Chris Pringle's girl bill will probably pass the legislature.
What do you say debate, too? Do you think Representative Rogers will chime in on this? Or think
Well, he never misses an opportunity. I just mean, Democrats who do oppose this, I'm not saying all of them, the ones that do will probably not miss an opportunity to try to label Republicans as anti-gay, anti-trans, anti-LGBT, as far as, even if the bill is on its way to passage and faces no serious opposition, the other party is going to make sure to take advantage of an opportunity to label the other party is mean, spirited, and bigoted.
Oh, but I would love to retort there. I mean, because number one, you talk about kids. You're talking about kids, you know, non-10. I've got some of those in my house, and they, you know, they also, you know, feel like they are that the gender close to them is just Sonic the Hedgehog. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're talking about kids here, and I pointed this out for some effect here. And this is what I would say. You know, hey, fellow members of the legislature, do you know how old you have to be to have your name changed in the state? You have to wait till you are not a minor anymore to legally change your name, at least in everything I've read. So you have to, now, if we're going to have somebody wait, if mom and dad give you the wrong name and you feel like you've been living with the wrong name, right? I mean, I was born Carrie Sean Sullivan, but I really need to be Steve McQueen Sullivan. You know, if that needed to happen, then I got to wait here to illegally do it till I'm 18. But I can go through the process of whether it's the drugs or the snip or slice or whatever beforehand. When you might get to 18 and absolutely regret it.
Sean, please change your name to Steve McQueen Sullivan. Can you please? We can all agree that this is a needed.
It'd be a pretty tough name, huh?
That's pretty solid. Well, you're expressing the frustration and the feelings of a lot of Alabamians, and that's where this bill comes from. And Representative Allen from Troy and Senator Shelnut from up in Trustville, they've kind of been on the same page as far as saying, look, if a child is struggling with gender identity, they called it gender dysphoria, then the proper avenue for that is therapy, right? Let's go and talk to professionals and you know, deal with this on a mental health therapy route rather than medical treatment with chemicals and potentially even surgery. And again, it's not banning transgender surgery, right? Treatment. It would ban it for children,
right?
So
I'm with you. I mean, if somebody's if they're of the age of majority and they want to do it, I don't care. I'm like the most laissez-faire guy you ever met. Like, that's fine. You ain't be adult, make your own decisions. Cool. Go do it. Have at it.
Right. So anyway, it's interesting how that and the girl bill, you know, this transgender thing has become an issue in the legislature. Of course, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a big issue. It just sort of gets a lot of hype. And right now, you know, the budgets haven't come up. They haven't really dived into prison reform yet. You know, the only other big ticket item is medical marijuana that's moving right along. So, you know, sometimes we get distracted by these sort of periphery issues.
Absolutely.
But before the big ones come up.
Yeah, this happens every time. I mean, so I'm waiting. Do we have another law or a bill here to ban Sharia law in the state of Alabama? I mean, these things always come up and waste our time instead of looking at, I don't know, like you said, prison reform, which is the, 800-pound gorilla in the room, or the lottery that people go, hey, y'all didn't do anything last year and it doesn't look like you're doing much this year.
Yeah, I'm still wondering what's going to happen with gambling legislation. You know, when Governor Ivey created her study group, everybody wondered, okay, is this a group that's going to report out this session? Are they going to say, okay, here's a way forward this session? Because, look, yeah, it's only the 8th legislative day, but this, we're going to turn around and the session is going to be winding down. So a lot of people think, okay, well, it basically took it off the table for this year. However, Steve Klaus, you know, mm-hmm. the budget chairman, he's going forward with his lottery bill. It's a standalone lottery bill, paper lottery, no frills. He's one that just wants to see it on the ballot, like put it on the ballot. Maybe you can change it later. They probably would have to change it later in terms of implementing legislation, but he's going to go forward with that. But from the governor's intervention, as far as the study group and all that, it probably gave enough lawmakers in the House a reason to vote no, right? To say, well, look, I'm going to wait till the governor and her commission comes up with something. You know, that's an excuse. That's cover, basically,
yeah.
To vote no.
Yeah, it's cover. I mean, I have talked to just yesterday, Representative Stringer, who said this. He said, now we're working on it. We're going to work on this lottery bill, work on, you know, Klaus's bill here. But I... I have a feeling that you could kick the can far enough down. You have the cover of, oh, we're waiting for the research to come back, or we just didn't get to it. We really wanted to, but we ran out of time. And no, there won't be a special.
Now, to be clear, I think a study group is a great idea, because if they could come up with something that has some, I don't know, credibility behind it, that's not, you know, favored one way or the other, that really, you know, has some legitimacy to it, it's probably a really good idea. I think some in the legislature are frustrated that they're just now doing it, right? She announced it State of the State night, and why wait, knowing this is going to be an issue? So I think there's some frustration from lawmakers there. But again, we don't know if this study group moves fast and has something, maybe it gets put together. But if it's splitting the baby, Brian, if you're splitting the baby on gambling, meaning nobody gets everything they want, and you know, the gambling interests have been known to kill things if that's the case. And so it would be wise for that group to take their time and really do something right, come up with something with a lot of credibility, if they really want to see it passed. Otherwise, it's probably just poisoning the well.
Of course, they couldn't have started that research and anything at the end of last session, because who knew that lottery was an issue that we might be talking about in this session. Coming right back, more with Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. We're going to dive into Super Tuesday here in Alabama next.
Super Tuesday. Let your voice be heard. Then listen for the updates, recap, and analysis. FM Talk has enlisted the assistance of the best political pundits in Alabama to unwrap the results of your votes locally. The AL1 congressional race. Will there be a runoff for the U.S. Senate seat? Sean Sullivan and Jeff Poore host election night coverage, beginning when the polls close at 7 on FM Talk. FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:36, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Talking with my buddy Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. You got to get his email in your inbox. I mean, if there was ever a fevered pitch of waiting for that, hitting that refresh button, waiting for the email to come in, it's right now with everything going on in Montgomery and Super Tuesday just days away, man. How do we do that?
Well, you're right. Now's the perfect time to be subscribed to Alabama Daily News. We've got the legislature in session. We're 6 days out of the Republican primary. Well, all the primaries on Super Tuesday. So it's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com, click subscribe there at the top of the page, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. It's free, no cost at all. You'll get the newsletter every day from me, in the 8 o'clock hour, 8 o'clock, 8:30. Today I was, more toward the 8:30 part. Sorry to keep you waiting there and click and refresh, but we did have a lot of news. I mean, there was just a lot of news out of the State House yesterday. There were a lot of new polls and things like that. So now is when it's really starting to pick up.
Yeah, big time. So y'all check it out. And if we get time, we may circle around to a couple other, the smoke and vaping bill. But I do want to get your take. First of all, I'm going to go out of my comfort zone, because I do want to talk to you about AL1 and the Senate race. But explain to me, I watched just kind of, across the border there, AL2. Explain to folks back here at AL1 what's going on with AL2. It might be a runoff.
That's right. So just like the first district, AL2 is an open seat. So Martha Roby is not running again, so that's created an open seat and a very competitive one. At the beginning of the race, Jeff Coleman, businessman from Dothan, got in and has pumped tons of money in, had tons of advertising. They call him the Alex Shinura, of this race, because everywhere you go in Montgomery down to Dothan, it's everywhere. So everybody figured, okay, this guy's going to clean it up. Even if it goes to a runoff, he'll be very well positioned to win. However, a new poll came out yesterday from the Alabama Forestry Association. They're a significant group in this state. They're not actually endorsing in this race. They just did a poll to test the waters. And their poll showed that Coleman was actually down. He was down to 30 points. Now, look, he's still winning by double digits. But to be down 30 points when he was at 44, mid-40s in December and January, that's a problem for him. And other candidates, including Jessica Taylor from Prattville, she's the conservative squad one, if you remember those ads coming up.
Mm-hmm.
She was in second place. Barry Moore, a former state representative, in third, and Troy King in fourth place. Now, really, it's a race between those three, Jessica Taylor, Barry Moore, and Troy King, to see who can get in the runoff with Coleman. But here's the thing, Sean. As I mentioned, it was previously thought that even if he had to go to a runoff, Coleman would run away with it. But this poll was the first indication that may not be true, because these other candidates have finally gotten their aim out there. They've attacked Coleman on his company and the dispute there. There was some controversy about, overcharging the federal government for his moving business. It's enough to get people talking and put pause in their minds. So a very competitive race going on y'all's next door neighbors in the 2nd District.
All right, let's talk about back here at home in AL1. Tupperville, that last time we talked, I mean, last week, Tupperville, at least in this one poll that was paid for by Club for Growth, in the lead?
Oh, you're talking about, well, Senate, yeah, look, I mean, I think it's a photo finish for Senate. Now, I know that Bradley Byrne has been at 17% in a couple of recent polls, including our poll, including the Alabama Daily News Mason Dixon poll. However, I'll point this out. In those polls where Byrne is 17%, the nature of them are like this. You simply ask, if the election was held today, who would you vote for, and list the names. The pollsters don't ask, okay, who would you lean toward, right? Or do you strongly favor this candidate, right? When you do that as a pollster, you give respondents, the voters, an option, some flexibility. Lots of voters, when they're called, they don't really want to say. And so to make a hard call on it, that's why the undecideds are so high. So in those polls, Bradley Byrne is down at 17%. But in the two internal polls, both Byrne's internal and Sessions' internal, those polls actually ask you, okay, who are you leaning toward? Like, if you just had to say, who are you leaning toward? And they add those numbers up as an aggregate. And what that does is it cuts down on the number of undecideds. And in both of those polls, Byrne does significantly better. In fact, is in second place in both of them. So
okay,
that tells me that a lot of undecideds are, breaking for Byrne, and that's exactly what he needs at this point in the race.
Okay, wait, this is why I like the take from Todd Stacey, because a lot of people said, the discussion's been, it's going to be Tupperville, Sessions, and the runoff, and you're saying not so fast.
Look, I think that's been the conventional wisdom, and I've been right there. And it still may be. I think they have consistently been on top of all those polls. I'm just saying, when I started really digging into the numbers and seeing where the lean voters were going, right? Okay, if without a high undecided rate, without a high number of undecideds, where are those voters going when you cut that rate down? And in both internal polls, it's not just Byrne's internal, it's Sessions' internal poll. From last month, those voters are going to Byrne, or a lot of them are. That's exactly what he needs to happen. And so, but he also needs this to happen, Sean. He needs Mobile and Baldwin counties to really blow out and vote at a higher rate than really the rest of the state. And if that happens, and if voter turnout everywhere else is a little bit down, then you may see Byrne sneak into that runoff.
So, and that was going to be my next question. When you have two hometown products here with Sessions and Byrne, does it end up being just a push here between the two, or is there, by what you're saying, there's a chance with those? I wonder if there was any kind of breakdown to the undecided percentage down here in Mobile and Baldwin County. Is it 32? It is across the state. What is it down here?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. If it's a push, if it's 50-50,
yeah,
Byrne and Sessions, then Byrne doesn't have a chance. He needs to really run up the score in Mobile and Baldwin County. So if we get to election night and it's, 8 o'clock, they still hadn't called it, and you're seeing Byrne and Sessions neck and neck in Mobile and Baldwin, then it probably would not be a very good thing for Bradley Byrne, because that's his base, it's his strength. We know that he hasn't done as well in North Alabama, you know, basically north of Birmingham. So yeah, he needs to run up the score in those areas. I've not seen any definitive polling. I know that it's a race between Byrne and Sessions and Mobile, but I think Mobile decides this Senate race.
Okay, got to switch it back now, which I meant to do a second ago, but switch it back to AL1. And here we are in a possible another runoff we're looking at. Or what do you think? What's your take?
Oh, there will most certainly be a runoff. And by all accounts, Bill Hightower, who has gotten out, you know, ahead of the field, will probably be in it. So it's what it always has been. It's a race between Chris Pringle and
Jerry Carl.
And Jerry Carl, sorry. So it's kind of two different mindsets there. Pringle has had some really clever ads. I thought his ads are really kind of stand out, which is what you want to do. And he hasn't had the crazy financial resources that Jerry Carl has. That's the other approach. Carl is running more of a traditional campaign, just kind of selling himself, raising his name ID, stuff like that. But he's had tons of money, including tons of personal money, right? He's loaned himself a considerable amount of money to put all these ads on TV. Now, look, that's generally the way you win a race.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a test between, okay, more frequency, tons more money behind it, versus Chris Pringle, more clever, stands out, and does that sort of, compensate for not having quite as much money.
Okay, so let's talk about undecideds there. You don't think it's as big a factor here on undecideds, or what are you thinking down here?
Well, if you're a go-with-your-gut voter on Election Day, see, the campaigns with the most money love the go-with-the-gut voters, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, the odds are that if you're waiting to Election Day to decide who you're voting for, then all the advertising and all the information that's been put on you is going to help decide your vote, right? If I'm the campaign with the most money, man, I love the late deciders, because I know that odds are they're going to vote for my candidate. It's no different than retail advertising, right?
Yep.
There's a reason why you pick up Tide and Bounty in the grocery store aisle, because they spend millions of dollars trying to get in your head, because it works, even if it's subconscious and we don't know it. So that's not all undecideds, but it's a lot of them. And so we'll see. But I do expect a runoff. I expect Hightower to be in it. Of course, once we get to the runoff, you know, Club for Growth is waiting there with a $300,000 ad buy, waiting to hit whoever gets in the runoff versus Hightower. So, I mean, no matter who it is, it's going to be a race right away.
Hey, who is – okay. So, and Club for Growth is like you said, waiting in the wings behind Hightower. Who are they behind in the Senate primary? Because at first it seemed like it was – it wasn't – but it kind of they favored Sessions. It was, I guess they had this anybody but Bradley Byrne angle. And now, am I reading the tea leaves wrong, that they seem to maybe be switching to the Tupperville campaign?
Well, it's kind of been hard to figure out. Now, when Sessions got in the race, and even actually a week before he got in the race, the Club for Growth president, like the guy at the top, was saying, Jeff Sessions is my guy. It wasn't an official endorsement the way they, you know, I'm sure their board has to vote or something. But man, they were begging him to get in the race. They were the ones that put out the polling that showed he would do really well. So clearly, at the beginning of Sessions, you know, getting in this race, Club for Growth was very encouraging of him. In the months since, especially in the last month and a half, they have been very—they've been chill on that, and they've been very open to a Tupperville candidacy, not endorsing either of them, but saying what they really just—they just don't like Byrne. They just don't like Bradley Byrne. That's no secret. It's been that way since he's been in Congress. Really, it's the same way for a lot of Alabama congressmen, right? Because things like the Farm Bill and appropriations—those are the things that Club for Growth doesn't, you know, that typically is a no on. So they're just anybody but Bradley. So if Byrne gets into the runoff, I would definitely expect Club for Growth to go up with statewide ads, if they can find the money, to go up with, you know, statewide ads hitting Byrne, not just in Mobile, but statewide. You know, they're up with an ad right now hitting Bradley Byrne, but it's only in Mobile. I think if he gets in the runoff, Club for Growth goes after him statewide.
It's going to be interesting to watch this play out. Turnout-wise, you mentioned that. Do you have any sense? I mean, it's President Trump's on the ballot. I mean, that seems like it puts a lot of people at the polls.
Yeah, and that, you know, we've been talking about this a while because the conventional wisdom, right, the assumption all this time has been, yeah, Trump's on the ballot. Man, people are not, they can't wait to vote for him for the first time again. But I'm just not sensing that there's a huge groundswell of people that are, I can't wait till election day. Plus, because it's not a swing state, not a very important state for that matter, there's no advertising, there's no push by the Trump campaign to actually get people out, to get them excited. So there's a very real possibility that turnout is low throughout the state. I mean, relatively low. It's not nearly as exciting to get out and vote for your Senate candidate as it is a contested presidential primary, right? In 2016, it was Trump versus Rubio versus Bush versus, you know, right, Ted Cruz and down the list. So everybody was fired up and wanted to go vote for their guy. It's a lot different this time around. So it could very well be low, which probably benefits the Burns and Sessions.
You don't think all that pent-up desire to vote for PSC is going to drive people to the polls?
An uncontested race for Public Service Commission, yes. And of course, you know, the school board. People can't wait to get out and vote for the school board. But
that's the double-edged sword. As I look at this Amendment 1, and I talk to people, if I have to break one way, I break to the side of the people that are opposed to this. I think it still should be elected. But that sword cuts both ways. We the people need to do a lot better job of paying attention to something like school board. It's been a people show up, they know more about the national candidates, even in other states, than they do about their school board.
We don't know anything about the school board candidates. We never do. We don't even know that much about the Supreme Court candidates and the Court of Criminal Appeals and the Court of Civil Appeals. I'm not saying to take honestly, I don't think any of that is a very good elected office. But when it comes to the state school board, the proof is in the pudding. They've been absolutely disastrous, and there's no repercussions for that, right? It would be one thing if, given our drop in education and the continued failings of education, everybody got riled up and said, okay,
voted
we're
going to
replace
yeah.
this. Yeah, we're going to vote them out. That hasn't happened. It hasn't happened the last two cycles because we just don't know. And so that's why other states have transitioned to and appointed a professional school board. I think Alabama is one of like three or four states that still does elected. There's a reason states have gone to this other way, because with everything you've got to vote for on the ballot, with everything you've got to keep track of, you know, education policy in Montgomery, you know, kind of gets on the back burner. So I'm voting for it. I know that the whole right to vote and all that kind of stuff.
And I'm voting against you, man.
Yeah, right. Fine. But it's, you know, I challenge anybody. I tell you who's voting for this is anybody that's ever sat through a school board meeting or work session, because they're absolutely disastrous, and we got to do something about it. But you know, they should have done a lot better job probably educating voters about what it actually does. And I think it probably could have been on the ballot in a different way. But we'll see. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be very close, especially with some of these education efforts starting right now.
That's for sure. There he is, y'all. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, the website aldailynews.com. Once again, they can sign up for the email right there.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, as always, a pleasure. Todd Stacey, when he joins us. They, by the way, I just got the note here. They are schools out for the week. Well, Alabama House is out for the week, and I think the Senate's not going to be too far behind them. So whatever they've gotten done this week, that's where we'll stand till Tuesday. All right, coming right back. Grab some phone calls at 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:56 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. I have some of the numbers on the Senate side. Earlier in the show, I discussed Bloomberg spending on TV and radio in the state has been $8 million here in Alabama. Like, I think Bernie Sanders is second to Bloomberg in spending. He spent like $142,000. Bloomberg spent $8 million to get himself some traction coming up on Tuesday on the Democrat side. Let me just compare and contrast here. I pointed out that it's, you know, we don't get it. For some reason, Bloomberg doesn't want to be on a station like this one. Now, he's on other talk stations in the country, you know, in the state that are owned by big conglomerates. But, you know, local talk radio, even though we've got a big, gigantic, huge signal. So he spent $8 million in the state on those stations. And I said, I just off the top of my head, I felt good about it. I said, you know what? I bet you he has spent more than the AL1 and the Senate race combined. Oh, and could I be more? How right was I? Let's just look at the Senate side, which we know has spent more than the House side. So Jeff Sessions' campaign has spent $1.4 million. Okay? Spent one. The Byrne campaign is spent $741,701. And the Tupperville campaign has spent $597,000. Now, I'm no math magician, but that doesn't total $8 million. You go, Bloomberg. Jeff Ford joins us coming up in hour number two of Midday Mobile. Grab your calls and texts as well at 343-0106. Remember the website, fmtalk1065.com. All kind of good stuff over there. Check it out right now, unless you're driving. All right.